This podcast is intended for investment professionals.
Legal & General Asset Management has committed to support the goal of net zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2050 or before in its investments, in line with global efforts enshrined in the Paris Agreement to limit global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius. This podcast discusses the industry's push to get to net zero and Make My Money Matter, the campaign group urging us all to get there.
So welcome everybody. From the Paris Agreement to Extinction Rebellion, the pressure is mounting to drive global warming down to 1.5 degrees. And key to achieving this will be reducing worldwide carbon emissions to net zero by 2050. And with their snappy alliteration and even snappier message, it's hard to ignore Make My Money Matter. So this people-powered campaign was launched in June 2020 to encourage the UK's pensions industry to migrate its £3 trillion worth of assets into investments that savers really care about. So today, we're here to find out more about their net zero campaign and what this means for DC pension investors in particular. I'm Emma Douglas, head of DC at LGIM, and joining me in the virtual studio to tackle this burning topic are Tony Burden, the Make My Money Matter CEO.
Hello, nice to meet you.
Catherine Redmond, one of the trustees for Legal & General's Master Trust.
Hi, Emma.
And Miriam Omi, Head of Sustainability and Responsible Investment Strategy at LGIM.
Hi, everyone.
So, Tony, let's start with you. Your campaign has got some great, powerful slogans, encouraging us to be a net zero hero and to build pensions with intention, for example. So let's pick up on that last one. What's at stake here, and what does meaningful climate action look like in the pensions industry?
Thanks, Emma. Look, we want people to have more voice and control over their savings and for them to be invested sustainably. All pension funds should invest for a future their members want to retire into and where people and planet thrive. It's also a better way to manage risk. And given the performance of ESG funds over the past decade, an important way to generate returns. But unfortunately, that's not where we're heading. And it's why we've created a campaign that will help pension members demand the change they want, putting pressure on government and industry to drive this transition through better investments and by using our pension power to ensure the company's transition to more sustainable practice.
Thanks, Tony. So I'm strongly hearing from that Make My Money Matter was founded on a belief that we absolutely share here at Legal & General, that environmental, social and governance issues are financially material and better run companies also generate better long-term returns. But you've definitely outlined for us some huge goals and lofty aims. So what exactly are you asking the industry to do to get there?
All pension funds should align their portfolios to net zero emissions by 2050, with a halving of emissions by 2030. And as you all know, the pace of transition is absolutely vital if we're going to tackle the climate emergency. And it's the next decade that really counts. So secondly, we want to mainstream ESG across the entire portfolio. And then third, grow the portfolio which invests for positive impact while getting good returns. In other words, investing in a better world. And fourth, for pension funds to be active stewards of the companies that they have shares in. Often pension funds have been very passive in this regard. So by being more active, they can drive responsible and sustainable business action and drive the transition to net zero. And finally, as I said earlier, responding to the views of members, where appropriate, noting that members are not investment specialists.
At Legal & General, we've partnered to create a pilot online platform with the fabulous fintech startup Tomello. And that gives members the opportunity to see the holdings in their portfolios and also feed in how they would vote on key initiatives. And so that's a really exciting development for our members. But Tony, I'm keen to go back to you on this point. So we've seen from research, and we've certainly seen in the recent US election, that there can be a gap between what people say and what they do. In other words, good intentions, well expressed, don't necessarily translate into action. So why is your campaign any different?
Well, firstly, just to say Tumalo signed up with us as well as a partner, so that's great. And, you know, I think one of the things we need to do that will just change the engagement with people who save into their pension is to have an app on your phone where you understand where your pension's invested, the kind of, you know, returns you're getting, what your pension pot's going to look like, but also its impact. But still, that engagement with the pension is still difficult for people who are busy, you know, in other jobs, busy in their lives. So I think the approach needs to be built into the default pension. And then more active people who engage more can have a look at that. If they want to select a more ethical option, if one is available, then they can do so. But let's build a sort of more positive approach into the default pension.
Just on the Tumalo, which is the pilot program that we talked about earlier, we had seen really great results. So we had 1,139 members participate on the platform, which is a really big number. You know, most people don't engage on their pension usually. And then they cast vote on 3,774 resolutions at different companies. So I think that really highlights how, given the right tool, a lot of people are willing to engage, not only, you know, with their pension, but knowing that they can have an impact for their own future by doing that.
Yeah, that's great, Miriam. It's just so exciting to see the results of that pilot. And Catherine, does this ring true with what clients and members are asking for? So do you think they support a move towards measuring the impact of their investments alongside more traditional ways of monitoring returns?
So echoing what Miriam said, I certainly think it's much more common now for both clients and members to ask questions about ESG and to be supportive of ESG as a concept. But just at the moment, we don't see quite as many questions about measuring the impact of ESG in the same way as we would see questions about measuring financial performance. But clearly, this is the logical next step and almost certainly something we will see much more of going forward. It does, after all, seem a little futile to support ESG investment as a concept, but then not to actually measure that impact. Historically, of course, one of the barriers to measuring impact has been the difficulty of obtaining enough credible and consistent data in each of the three metrics, whether that's environment, social and governance. But encouragingly, we are now seeing that starting to change. So, for example, some fund managers are already starting to show carbon emissions data, for example, on their fund fact sheets, which is sitting aside alongside more traditional mechanisms like financial and performance.
Yeah, I mean, certainly that's the development that we're looking to implement here as well, as you know. And Miriam, what else are we doing at Legal & General to combat the threat of a climate catastrophe?
Well, we're doing a whole host of things to tackle climate, and it's not all bad. There's so many solutions to climate, and we all want to play a part in that. So the first part I want to highlight here is that as a group, Legal & General, as a group, has committed to net zero. That's the kind of overall commitment that many companies, cities and countries are making. So we are part of that overall goal to bring the emissions down to near zero point in the next 30 years. But as an investor, so that's the Legal & General Investment Management, we're also doing a whole host of things. So if I bring that down to three main areas, the first one being how we engage with companies. The second is how we create investment options for pensions and many other clients. And three is how we engage with policymakers. So let me just break that down. That on the engagement part, we've been doing a very structured engagement directly with hundreds of companies in our engagement program called Climate Impact Pledge. Now, you can also come on to our website and find out more about it, but where you on that website, you will see that over 1,000 companies have been traffic lighted on how they're addressing climate change. On the back of that, we start to vote against some of those companies, and we start to engage with them, talk to them, and when they don't step up, we will start to also hold them accountable in selling some of the shares and bonds and so forth. So we really escalate into the conversation to make sure that they're coming along on the same journey. The second part is the investment option. So what we can do today is we can create more products, what we call investment funds, that address this decarbonization agenda. What it means is that you can have a portfolio that have very similar investment return profiles, but reduces carbon exposures and increases exposure to green opportunities. So again, it's important as an investor that we keep creating these opportunities for our pension clients. And then thirdly, all of that needs governments to step up, right? Like you cannot expect companies to move if the regulations aren't there. We also play a role in pushing the right net zero aligned policies and regulations. So we actually not only move into a low carbon future, but also we do it in an orderly way, in a just transition type of way, so that we can all benefit from the transition. And so how we engage with not only the UK government, but a lot of governments globally, it's gonna really make or break in addressing climate.
That's great, Miriam. That's a whole load of action there being taken. So let's now hone in on the third pillar that you mentioned, Tony, climate. So I know that you're currently focused on a huge drive to get pension schemes to commit to net zero. Can you elaborate on that for us?
Well, I really liked what Miriam said, you know, the engagement with companies. So, you know, part of this is for those high emission companies like oil and gas companies, but also others, to really work with them on a fast transition to low and zero carbon. That's really, really important. And we're not a divestment campaign. We, you know, we think divestment is necessary if companies don't engage and aren't willing to transition. But otherwise, by having all shareholders really engage hard with companies, you can help drive this just transition that Miriam mentioned. So, you know, on the net zero side, I've mentioned earlier, I think one of the key challenges is around halving emissions by 2030. And so, you know, signing up to net zero by 2050 is one thing, but it's absolutely vital for asset owners, asset managers to really focus on what needs to be done over the next 10 years to halve emissions by 2030. And I know that at Legal & General, you're focused on that, but it's really, really key. I've mentioned what we've been seeing in the UK, where more and more pension funds now are announcing a shift in their DC schemes to net zero, and also their defined benefit schemes like the BT pension scheme. But just looking globally, there are assets of, you know, around $47 trillion invested through pension funds. So, you know, we're also a global campaign, and we're trying to build partnerships in other countries. Make My Money Matter Australia has just launched, and there are partners across Europe, in the US and Canada. We really need to shift all of these assets globally and engage with the G7 that the UK will host next year, engage with COP26. But the other side of this, and you know, Mark Carney reinforces this, is the commercial opportunity that arises by shifting out of high emissions businesses. And Miriam again alluded to that in the funds that you're creating. Mark Carney says it's the biggest commercial opportunity in living memory. So this isn't sort of, you know, win or lose. I think it's actually shifting portfolios and actually winning by investing in the new industries, new technologies, new kind of energy businesses that we'll see in the future.
Thanks, Tony. That's a very strong commercial case, and also very interesting to see that Make My Money Matter is going global as well. That's fantastic. Catherine, let's get down to a little bit more detail focusing on UK and DC. So can you talk about the demand that schemes are seeing from their members centred upon this move towards net zero?
So I think it's fair to say that we are definitely seeing increasing demand for climate friendly initiatives in general, and clearly that would encompass the shift to net zero. But I think one really important point to note is that views from members are often mixed. And actually a survey that we ran recently illustrates this quite well. So in this particular survey, we asked over 1,000 people whether they'd be happy for some of their pension in savings to be invested in fossil fuel companies. And what we found was that 16% of those who responded said they would not be comfortable under any circumstance. Another 16% said they didn't have any objections. And then the remaining 2/3 said they'd only be comfortable if their asset manager was actively using their influence and powers to reduce their carbon emissions. So I think this particular survey is a really good example of why trustees and the industry need to be mindful that there isn't always a consensus view amongst members. And in fact, this case shows that a proportion of the membership can even have quite polarised or opposing views. I noticed that Tony mentioned earlier about not being a divestment campaign. And I think this survey sort of backs that up, because actually, the majority of members are likely, or it's suggested in this survey, that they're likely to have a balanced and measured approach. And what they're not saying is we need to completely divest from fossil fuel companies in this case. They're effectively saying carry on, but use your influence to encourage those companies to reduce their carbon emissions.
And so, Miriam, we've heard about what members want to see and how it's not necessarily entirely always clear what they want. But what can providers do? What can DC providers do to help towards the net zero target in particular?
Yeah, I mean, and so our role is to really be empowered by that kind of the result of the survey, take the responsibility really seriously and hold those accountable. And what we have done over the years is not only to engage directly with them, with different companies in different sectors, but as I said earlier, to hold them accountable. That means to actually vote against some of the people who are sitting on the board not addressing climate change. Now, let me give you an example. So we have been talking to BP for a long time. And, you know, not that long ago, net zero or Paris alignment or even climate change was just so secondary. And, you know, it was unthinkable that they would align the business to this trajectory of bringing emissions, you know, enormously down for the next 30 years, because they thought there wouldn't be any peak oil at all. As I said, I'm talking 2-3 years ago. Now we have a situation where the exact same company is committing to net zero. And that's the power of engagement. Now, there will be some points when the engagements just don't bring enough or a meaningful result. And that's when you have to take action. And what we've done is we've done both. So I talked earlier about Climate Impact Pledge, which is a program on climate. And we do both. What I mean by that is we talk to those companies. But when we don't get the results that we want, we can sell some of those shares, as in divest. So we're not blanketly divesting out of a sector, but we are saying that those companies are not stepping up. So for example, we made an announcement that we divested out of Exxon from some of our funds as a result of failed results of the engagement. Now, what we are doing differently, particularly for DC this year, is that we made a commitment for all our default funds that when we make the decision to sell those shares, it will be applied across the board on the defaults one. We think it's a really big step.
That's great, Miriam. I absolutely love that BP Exxon story. It's just such a powerful example of engagement with consequences. So I've just got now one last question for my fabulous panelists. So I'm going to ask it to each one of you. But how do you see the pension industry's response to climate change changing over the near and longer term? So Catherine, let's start with you.
Yeah, so I think I would highlight two things. The first is that in the past, there's been quite a concern that choosing climate supportive investments might negatively impact financial performance. But I think what we're seeing now is an increasingly prevalent belief and crucially more evidence that the opposite is actually true. So going forward, I think support for environmentally friendly products is likely to intensify and possibly even accelerate in the near to medium term. The second thing I'd highlight, and I think Mariam's touched on this briefly, is that what we've seen in the past is government and regulators tending to nudge or strongly encourage industry participants down climate supportive routes. But I think that will become, their approach will become increasingly prescriptive in the future. And I think the industry will have a lot less choice in the matter.
Tony, do you want to go next?
Yeah, I mean, just to sort of build on Catherine's last point, Make My Money Matter, along with other organisations, is asking for an amendment to the pensions bill that's currently in the House of Commons right now, asking for net zero and pension fund investment strategies for it to be mandatory to align with net zero. So I'm hoping quite quickly that that will become law.
Thanks, Tony. Mariam, what are your views?
So obviously, when it comes to climate change or ESG, I have a lot of views on it being part of mainstream and so forth. But if I may go beyond that, I think what this is climate is sort of a proxy for how people engage with their pensions. For so many years, and still now, we just don't. How many times are you in a pub? Well, right now you can't, but are you in a pub talking about pension? It is just dull, right? But it's actually one of the most powerful, if not the, you know, literally the most powerful thing you can do in choosing the right provider and choosing the right fund. And it's one of the most engaging thing you can do if you've been given the right information. So I think the relationship we're going to have with our clients will change, and people's relationship with their money, the biggest pot of money that they would probably set aside for the future, is going to change. And we're going to sort of engage through the means of topics like climate change, but there's a whole host of things happening with your own money. So we hope that this becomes the kind of the platform to engage with money and future, and obviously take the right action to move forward.
That's great, Mariam. I'm really sorry that you find pensions dull. I'm very disappointed about that. But there we go.
It's
my life, so I'm very upset about that. But I do think that actually what we've uncovered today during this podcast is what I've thought for a little while now, is that potentially through this climate change movement, you know, this is a sort of hidden superpower that I think can get people to engage more with their pensions. And I'm totally with Tony on, I think it will happen very quickly. In fact, all of us have said that during this podcast today. So I think now it just remains for me to say thank you to my power panel and fabulous guests, and also to our fantastic listeners. So you can find out more about Make My Money Matter at makemymoneymatter.co.uk. And you could also find out what Legal & General Investment Management are doing, and Legal & General as a group, at what we're all doing towards the net zero 2050 target from your usual Legal & General contact. And please don't forget to subscribe to LGIM Talks for more podcasts. Until next time, everyone.
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookout for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in Legal & General investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of Legal & General Investment Management. Legal & General Investment Management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. And remember to share this podcast with your investment professional friends, colleagues, or even family members. To find more great content, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website.